Hello, everyone. This is Adrienne Dupree from Leave the Corporate World Behind. And in this session, we're going to be talking about Amazon FBA and what you should be doing for quarter four. And quarter four started in October, but the real crucial months are November and December. Once again, my company is Leave the Corporate World Behind. We're at leavethecorporateworldbehind.com. And our mission is to teach people who are in corporate America who want to get out of the rat race and stop trading time for dollars, how to leave their corporate job and start an online marketing business that can replace their income. So, like I said, today we're going to talk about all about Amazon FBA, and it's really, this is a really crucial time for Amazon FBA. I don't know if you are aware, but most people who do this type of business, they make 50% of their income during quarter four. I know it may sound pretty crazy, but even the people who've been doing this a while, they seem to experience that as well. And the reason is because during the holiday season, you know, there's a lot of frenzy as far as shopping. If you've ever been in the malls, you'll see that the malls are extremely crowded during November and December, especially, I would say, you know, around after Black Friday or around that time. You know, at one time it used to be that the stores were closed on Thanksgiving, and now they're actually open. So, I mean, there's just a lot of shopping that goes on. And not only does the shopping go on in the stores, but a lot of people shop on Amazon, and there's a lot of different reasons for that. I mean, some people just don't like the crowds, and so they would just prefer to be able to buy things online. The other thing is, sometimes when you go in the store, you can't find things. You know, it's much easier just to go online and put your search terms in and then just click on a button, you know, and then your merchandise is off to you. And especially for children, if there are hot toys that are out, a lot of times you go to the stores and you can't find them. And you would be surprised at how much over market price a person will pay for a toy just so that their child, you know, can have that toy during the holiday season. So one of the things that I recommend is, even if you don't normally sell toys, that you should seriously consider toys, because that is a lot. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities to make a lot of money with toys, and that's how I started. I mean, I started Amazon FBA in the middle of November of last year, so 2014. So it's a good and a bad thing. The bad thing was I was a brand new, so I did make some mistakes, and I wasn't able to fully take advantage of Q4. But the good thing is, because it was Q4, I was very successful, so it really gave me the motivation to continue it. I will open it up now for questions, and so let's see. Does anybody have any questions?
Hi, Adrienne. This is Debbie. I have a couple questions, but I'll ask one and then see if there's other people that have questions. Is that okay?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So the first question I have is, if you're brand new like you were last year, what's like the main thing that you need to know and concentrate on for this Q4 to get the most out of it?
I would say, you know, concentrate on items that have a low BSR or a low rank. For toys, I think I usually stay anywhere 100,000 and below, and that may sound high, but there's a lot of toys on Amazon. That's a big category. And the other thing is, one of the mistakes that I made in the beginning is when I was using Profit Bandit, and that is a tool that you can use to scan, and if you set it up, it'll basically tell you your profit for each one of the items. And so I was just looking at profit, and I wasn't looking at the rank. And so, yeah, I may have bought something that made a lot of profit, but it didn't sell during Q4, and it was there for months before it sold. So I would just say that's the main thing, is to make sure that you're not only looking at the profit, but you're also looking at the rank. The other thing is, yeah, you know, just make sure that when you're looking at items, that they are in pristine condition. If you've come across things where the boxes are banged up, or it looks like it's been taped and retaped, or, you know, it just doesn't look like something that you would give as a gift, I would leave it. You know, Amazon is a little different than eBay. You know, they want brand new toys, and people want, you know, toys that look new. They don't want things that look like, you know, they've been kicked around. One of the things that I do, and it's not necessarily you have to do this, but I poly bag all of my items. Some people may think that's overkill, but I just think of when you're in a warehouse, you know, it's dusty and dirty, and so I just want to keep everything clean, so I put everything in a poly bag. Did that answer your question, Debbie, or did you have
something? No, that's perfect, because that actually you answered a couple follow-ups that I had, so thank you for that.
Okay. All right, and let's see. We have a question from Faye. And she said, when you mentioned that you scan products before deciding to buy them, what device are you using to do that? Do this, and what are you scanning? Okay, so I'm just using, you can just use any smartphone. You can use, you know, either Android phone or an iPhone. And the app that I use is called Profit Bandit. It's $9.99 a month. Amazon does have a free app. It's called the Amazon Seller app. I just started with Profit Bandit. I prefer it. One of the reasons why I like it is because not only can you see the number of FBA sellers and the merchant fulfilled sellers, you can also click a button and actually see the Amazon listing. You can look at Camel and Keepa, and those are two things where you can look at history of items. And so that's what I use. I use it either on my Android phone. I also have it installed on my iPad. A lot of times, for whatever reason, I seem to get a better signal in some stores with my iPad. Like, for instance, when I'm in Target in the back of the store, I have a really hard time getting a signal with my phone, but it seems to work okay with my iPad. The other thing is I actually have my son has the app installed, so he can help me do scanning. So once you install the app, you can either type in the UPC, which is the barcode that's on every item, or you can actually scan it. And so that's what you're scanning. And the other thing is with Profit Bandit, because some of the categories are gated, so you have to fill out an application. Like if you want to sell in groceries, in beauty, in health and personal care, shoes, clothing, luggage, watches, jewelry. There's quite a few categories. And so it will actually, if you're not approved to sell in those categories in both of the apps, the Amazon Seller app and the Profit Bandit app, it'll come up as a restricted item. So there are quite a few categories that are gated. For instance, toys are not gated as long as you're sending them into Amazon Fulfillment by Amazon. If you actually want to merchant fulfill them, which means you'll be actually fulfilling the orders, and there are some criteria. Home good things are not gated. So there are sporting goods. So there are quite a few categories that aren't gated. Okay, Debbie, what was your other question?
Well, I have a follow-up to this one because I've started hearing about people using scanners instead of their iPhone to replace their iPhone, and I just don't understand that. What would the scanner, how would the scanner, like, connect? Do you know anything about using scanners?
So it doesn't replace your phone, but it replaces the scanner. So, for instance, there's a lot of different ones. One of the ones that I'm actually looking at that I think I'm going to get next month is a KDC M200, one of the meetup group that I'm in. There are quite a few people that have that. And so it just allows it to be quicker. So it's a little scan fob, so it still works with, for instance, if I'm using Profit Bandit, I can just scan with that, which is much quicker than, you know, trying to scan with my phone. The other thing is they have, like, some cool gadgets. Like, you can have it just on a lanyard, but they also have this thing that's called a glove. And so the actual scanner fits in the glove, so then you can just basically, you know, just point the glove at things, and, you know, the glove is on your hand. So it just allows you to scan a lot quicker. For the people I know who are, like, really sending lots and lots of merchandise, they use a scanner, and that's one of the things that I'm going to do because, I don't know, with my phone, sometimes it's hard to line it up, and it takes a while for it to read it, and then, you know, finally read it and then, you know, give me the results. The other thing is at home, I use a scanner as well. That's a USB one that just hooks to my computer. So I don't have to, when I'm adding listings, I just scan the barcode as opposed to typing it in. So it's not something that you have to have, but it just increases your productivity.
And does the scanner have the app within it, or does the scanner, like, hook to your phone? Is it a standalone thing?
No, yeah, it's a standalone thing, but it connects to the app. It's all
okay.
Bluetooth. Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Great.
Right.
Thanks. So, So another question I have is, again, starting out, thinking about a budget. What budget would you recommend that somebody that's just starting Q4 try to stay within, so they're not, you know, spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars and they don't really know quite what they're doing? Do you have a recommendation?
That's kind of hard. I mean, it's kind of based on your risk tolerance and, you know, how much money you can afford to tie up. But I mean, I think you could start, you know, with as low as, you know, 500. I mean, people started with lower. You know, the lower your budget, then you're going to have to look for items that aren't as expensive. I mean, if your budget is $500, then you don't want to be buying, you know, things that are probably $50 because you would only have 10 things. So, I mean, I think it just depends. You know, I think $1,000 is a good budget, and I would just, you know, and it depends on how low rank your items are, you know, how much you can turn it around, because, you know, as you know, you get a paycheck from Amazon every 2 weeks. So, I mean, if you concentrate on getting things that are, you know, lower rank, then, you know, they'll sell more quickly. So, you know, if they can sell within 2 weeks, then you'll have that money in the next 2 weeks. My payday is on Tuesday. Everybody's is different, but generally by Thursday, those funds are, you know, showing up in my account. The other thing is you can go to, you know, discount stores. I mean, when I started out last year, I did a lot of Dollar Tree and Five Below, and I did really well. I mean, of course, I did, you know, some of the other stores like, you know, Toys R Us and, you know, Target and those type of stores. But the other ones is a lot of times you can find really good deals at TJ Maxx and Ross. And, you know, so it just depends on what kind of stores. I have a lot of stores in my area and a lot, you know, more than one of the stores. So it's very easy, you know, for me to go find things. I mean, you can even find things at Walgreens, CVS. I mean, really, any store. I mean, I know somebody, I've never done this, but they're sourcing at Burlington. I just never thought to go to Burlington. But, I mean, and if you're approved in grocery, then, you know, the grocery stores are a good place to go, especially, like, more seasonal-type items. So, you know, like pumpkin-flavored or things that are more seasonal, you know, like peppermint and things like that, a lot of those type of things do well as well, you know, during this time, and even Christmas candy.
May I ask another question?
Oh, sure. Keep asking.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, these are great. So I've been looking more and more with the online sourcing because I'm not able to get out quite so much out to the stores as I want to. So here's a question about Black Friday. Do you know, are there online Black Friday deals? Should I just wait for Cyber Monday and get the deals on Cyber Monday?
Okay. Yeah, you can. Most of the stores have Black Friday online as well, you know, like Toys R Us and Target and things like that. So if you don't want to go out Black Friday, last year I did go out Black Friday, but I decided I wasn't going for the deals that you have to get up and stand in line at 4 o'clock in the morning. I used to do that all the time when my son was young. My sisters and I used to make a day of it when we had smaller kids to get the hottest toy. I'm not as motivated to do that. I mean, we don't have to do that anymore. And I decided I wasn't doing that. But I did go out, like, mid-morning, and for most of the things that I was looking at, they were still there. But, yeah, you can definitely look online as well. And let me see, Kit, if you have a question, you can just type it in the question box if you're only listening on the computer, and I will pick up your question. So did that answer your question, Debbie?
Sure did. Thanks.
Okay.
So I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Okay. How do you find the things that are not allowed within a specific category? Like, I didn't realize that Star Wars toys were not allowed unless you get special – I say not allowed, but unless you get special approval. So how do you find that list of things that you need special approval for, even if you're approved within a specific category?
I've never seen a list. But
okay.
If you scan it, especially I always check for, like, Star Wars and, like, Frozen stuff. I just check with the Amazon seller app because I just, you know, I just trust that a little bit more. With Star Wars, and it's not all Star Wars and it's not all Frozen. That's the thing. So you don't know. I mean, I sell a lot of Frozen toys. At one point, I know last year, a lot of the Frozen dolls were, you had to get approval because they were having a lot of problems with counterfeit. But someone told me, oh, I just listed a doll. I just don't, usually I just stay away from them. And with Star Wars, I know it's a lot of the Hasbro toys, but there are a lot of other toys and, you know, comforters and sheets and towels and, you know, cups and all other things, houseware things, and even toys, because I've sold some Star Wars toys that aren't restricted. So the best way, I would say, is to use the Amazon seller app just to, you know, verify, you know, whether you can sell it or not. Because the criteria for Star Wars, at least when I wrote Seller Central to find out, and you have to have been sold by, I think, sold since September. You have to get, you know, invoices from manufacturers, you know, for the restricted items, and you had to sell, have sold at least $50,000 worth of toys this year. So, but there are still a lot of other items that you can sell that are Star Wars that are not restricted.
Great, thanks. So, as I did, I've looked and looked and looked to try to find the list, and I have found it in some things that, you know, there's very specific manufacturers that you can't sell. But I never could find this about, like, the toys. So thanks. And I hadn't thought to, yeah, just go to the Amazon seller app, because I tend to stay in my one app, like the Profit Bandit, and I never thought
right.
to. I'll just go to the other one. So, okay, great.
Right. Okay, let's see. Kit has a question. She says, I bought a new game with a small tear in the cellophane. Do you recommend I redo it, or do you think it will work to cover with a blank label? I don't currently have a way to shrink wrap. So what I would do is actually put the FNSQU label on that, and then just put a blank label where the other one is. I think, and it's probably, you don't probably have to do that, but to me it would just be less obvious, because one would say, oh, okay, well, that's their label. Whereas if you just put a blank label there, they may say, well, why is there just a blank label there? Because I've run into the other thing is, like, some of the stuff I buy was from Target. They have the price that's right on. It's like a part of the tag. So I end up, you know, trying to cover it up, like, you know, it'll be on the corner. So I have to, like, cut a diagonal part of a label to cover it up, because I really can't put the FNSQU label there. But, I mean, that's what I would do. But Yeah, I wouldn't leave it just covered, and then I would also, you know, put it in a poly bag, just since it does have that little tear there, to make sure no dust or dirt gets in there in the warehouse. Let me just check to see if anybody has questions on the webcast. Okay, any more questions on the phone?
I have a follow-up for what you were just saying, Adrian. When you say that when you're talking about putting the FNS SKU label, because you say you polybag everything, do you put the label on the actual product or do you put the label on the polybag?
It depends. Sometimes if you could see it inside the bag, then I'll put it on the actual product, because if you can see it through the bag, you know, you have to cover it up. You have to cover up that UPC. So if it's something that I'm just going to put in a poly bag, most of the time I'll put it right on the product, right over that UPC. Sometimes I have to bubble wrap things, and so you wouldn't be able to see it through there. So then I bubble wrap it, and then I put it in a poly bag, and I'll put it on the outside. Or, like, if I had some, like, shoes and clothing and stuff like that, I typically will put the label on the outside of the bag.
Great. Thanks.
Let me just check for questions. Okay. The other thing that I want to talk about, which happened to me last year, and I think it would be more of a big deal, it looks like, this year, but when you're actually listing, really make sure that your item matches the listing that you pick that you're going to sell against. I didn't do that last year. I was selling some kinetic sand, and I listed against a listing where the picture looked just like mine, but I didn't carefully read the description, and so the actual weight of it was more sand than the one I was selling, even though the picture looked exactly the same. And I, you know, so I ran into some issues where, you know, people refunded and they gave me some negative feedback, and then my order defect rate went above 1%, and so I actually got suspended. So I was suspended on December 15th, 2014, which is an awful time to be suspended. I had all of these shipments on the way, because at that point I was basically trying to send shipments every day. You know, I didn't really know a lot, so I just wrote my own appeal letter. And luckily it worked. The next day I was reinstated. But I know now, you know, when people are suspended, it's taking 3-4 weeks for them to get get where they can sell again. So, I mean, the one thing I would just say based on my experiences, you know, even when I put in a UPC, when I'm adding a product and it says, you know, when something comes up and, you know, you can click sell yours, now I always, you know, click to see the actual listing in Amazon, and I read it and, you know, just make sure that it really is the same as mine, because some of the products that I buy, it seems like some of the toys, they have the same, they're using the same UPC for multiple items. For instance, it could be a toy, and it's, you know, they have a Frozen version, they have a Teenage Mutant Ninjas version, an Avengers version, but it's using all the same UPC. So, of course, when that happens, then I have to use my own unique UPC, you know, so that I can list my item. So, I mean, the one thing I would just caution about. The other thing is, when you get those ASN notices, like, a lot of times you'll get notices that'll tell you that something changed about an ASN that you have a listing for. Don't just ignore those. I mean, people, sometimes they change the picture or they'll change the quantity. So you just really need to make sure you do that. And if you're not doing it, you probably need to hire somebody, I would say once a week, or maybe even more often during the, you know, Q4, is to kind of go in and check your listings to make sure nothing's changed, because you will get a notification for a lot of the things that change with an ASIN. But if someone changes the picture, you're not notified. So, you know, that's just one of the things, you know, just to caution you against, so you make sure that your, you know, account doesn't get suspended or you don't get any negative feedback. The other thing is when I got a lot of that negative feedback, I didn't realize that I could have actually disputed it. And, of course, after the fact, I did. And so I got a lot of it was removed. But if I had done that when it first happened, then probably I wouldn't have had the issue with my seller account being suspended, because if someone leaves you a, you know, a bad review, but it's against the product and not necessarily you, then you can get that removed. You know, a lot of times people may have an issue with the product, and so they should be doing that against a product review, not your seller rating. So that's just another thing, you know, to keep in mind. All right, any other questions?
Adrian, may I make a comment?
Sure.
I think this has been just so, so great. I mean, you have such great information, and you're just very wonderful with laying it all out and giving us exactly the information. Even though I might have asked a question that was at a high level, I love that you broke it down a little bit further, so it makes it so much easier to understand it. So thank you. I really appreciate you doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, let's see. It looks like I have another question. Okay, so what happens if our inventory doesn't sell? Should we lower the price and take a loss? Well, I mean, I would try to buy inventory so that you do have a cushion, especially this time of year. You know, you may have heard, you know, try to buy something that's three times what you can sell it for. I would try to buy things where you have, and sometimes this is hard, but I seem to have been able to do this during quarter four, is buy things where it has at least 100% profit. So let's say I'll just take a simple example. You have a $5 item. So typically with something like that, your fees are going to be about $5. And, you know, I've been able to, you know, get $5 items and easily sell them for $25 right now. So the thing is even if the price drops, I can afford to drop my price and I'm still going to make a profit. Like, I'm not going to be in the red. One of the other things that you want to caution against is if you are scanning stuff and Amazon is selling it, a lot of times I try to stay away from that. I know people say Amazon will share the buy box. That happens sometimes, but I have some stuff where I've been selling. Amazon's been selling. Amazon was higher than me for months, but they always had the buy box. So, and sometimes you just don't know. I mean, you know, this has happened to me. You scan something. It looks great. Amazon's not on the listing. By the time you get in the warehouse, Amazon is there. They don't always undercut, and then some sellers do that too. You know, they'll just have a low price. But go in and look at the Amazon listing. A lot of times they may only have like one or two or three in stock. If you have a little bit in stock, it'll show how many you have left in stock. And so I just wait them out. The other thing is, like, I did get, I had a pretty big item with four of them. They were oversized, and I got left with four of them at the end of last year. So what I did is I just left them there, and then they started selling for under what I even paid for them. So I decided I wasn't going to, you know, lower my price and take a loss. When it came time to long-term storage, what I did is I sent three of them back to me, because it's 50 cents to do a removal order per item. And then I left just the one in there, because when they do the long-term storage fees, you only get charged if you have more than one of an item. And then back in the end of, this month, I sent them back in. So, I mean, that's another thing you can do. But I did have some groceries that I ended up taking a loss, because I wasn't going to ship them all back. They were getting ready to expire, you know, so at least I got some money for them. So I did take a loss on those. So, you know, sometimes you don't have a choice, but if it just starts dropping and the person only has three or four left, just wait them out. I mean, Q4 is really just starting. if you have stuff, you know, like toys and things like that, I wouldn't be worried about, you know, taking a loss at this point. Any more questions on the phone? Okay, let me see if we have any on the webcast. Okay. So Kit says, some of the things I bought from Big Lots and the price is part of the box. You just cover it with a label and not worry if someone pays more on Amazon. Yeah, Big Lots does that sometimes. Target does that sometimes. What I'll do is, you know, just cover it up. Sometimes, like I said, I will put the FNSQU label over the price. And if it's really, sometimes you can see it through the label. So I'll put like a blank label, and then I'll put the FNSQU over that. And then over the UPC, I'll just put a blank label. Yeah, I mean, some of those stores, I think, let's see who else does that. Kmart, sometimes the price is part of the box, too. So, yeah, I just cover it up. Do we have any other questions? Okay, well, I want to thank everybody for joining, and maybe we'll do a few more. I did want to do one about online arbitrage and some of the tools and things you can use, and so I'll try to schedule that within the next couple weeks. And I want to thank everybody for coming, and if you have any other questions, you can just reply to one of my emails, and or if you have any suggestions for other topics, especially Q4 related, just shoot me an email and we'll get that scheduled. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a good rest of your evening.